My name is Jackie Lukic, and I am the Director of Advocacy for the National Alliance on Mental Illness in St. Louis. NAMI supports expanded access to Medicaid, but we also know that we need some Medicaid reforms. And I also want to talk a little bit about, you know, transitioning people from the private sector into the public sector. Going back to Medicaid expansion, what I did not hear today about mental health care is the, you know, significant lack of inpatient beds, psychiatric beds in the state of Missouri. Since 1990, the number of those beds have decreased by 50%. I think that we need Medicaid expansion in order to improve access to outpatient care so that we don't need, you know, those people don't get to the point where they need inpatient care because they are going to be out of luck. Okay? I also think we need expansion because right now the mental health system, if you go to a community mental health center, the public sector, and you have Medicaid, you still can't get in. Now, you can get in if you have a serious problem, you know, if your illness is so severe that you really, really need help. But if you don't have that component, you're turned away. And the reason is because back in the 2009, the state cut funds from the general revenue budget under the Department of Mental Health, and those funds were used to serve people who were uninsured. When they cut those funds, the community mental health centers did not cut those people off of services. So they scrambled, you know, for ways to, you know, still provide those services and pay for those services. But it still has caused a clog in the system. Now, there, I understand from the Department of Mental Health, there are 35,000 people in the system, in the public system, who do not have a payment system. So if you put those people on Medicaid, you get them on Medicaid through the expansion, you all of a sudden have a payment system, and it will open up slots for new people to come in. I believe in reform. And we talked about this a little bit with mental health professionals. I think that's absolutely critical that we look at ways to increase access to allied professionals, nurse practitioners, and so forth. I also think it's hard for people for mental illness to get on Medicaid without having SSI in the first place. What the concerns that I hear from the mental health community is that there are no mental health professionals on the Medicaid review committee. So if you haven't already gotten SSI or SSDI, it is very hard for you to get on Medicaid. It takes a long time. And I did want to mention, in transitioning people from the public sector into the private sector, in terms of people having severe mental illness, we really need to bump up those services in our community mental health center that are recovery oriented. By this, I mean services such as supported employment, supportive housing, illness management and recovery, services that really help people with severe mental illness identify goals in the community, such as employment, and move forward and be able to then move into a private sector job and private insurance. The other thing about transitioning is we have to consider that Medicaid covers more services for people with severe mental illness. It is not unusual for somebody at NAMI to tell a parent that you need to get your loved one off of private health care and onto Medicaid because it covers all these services that, you know, we think your loved one with mental illness will benefit from. So in summation, we do really support Medicaid expansion, and we do support Medicaid reforms. And we hope that we can work with you, you know, as we go about this process to also help people not only get on Medicaid, but try to get off and go into the private system at some point. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Senator LaVota.
I don't know if you could help this committee. I'd be interested in, you may have this type of information based on your group, the cost of untreated mental health issues, either to the prison system, criminal justice, even business. Would you have information like that?
I do. I don't
as
have.
Looking at cost and everything for the state, right. I think that would be an interesting
right.
thought. You know, if we decide some type of more services for mental health, does that investment help us save on the other side? And I don't know who has that.
I have some figures that I can share with you in my head. For instance, the cost of providing somebody services through the community mental health centers per year is on average about $5,000. The cost of providing an inmate services for a year is I believe, more like $12,000 to $20,000, depending upon what kind of medical care they get.
You saying that, there's an assumption that untreated mental health does cause those, they go into crime and
oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If people with severe mental illness do not get the care that they need, they often end up acting out in the community, you know, often doing stupid things, mm-hmm. and end up in our jail system. Then when they get in the jail system, it depends on whether or not the jail system has good mental health care. Many do not. So if they don't get the care that they need in the system, they usually act out in the system and end up in the system much longer than they would be if they had gotten the care. And it just sort of spirals downward. You know, and then there are some, you know, suicides. People who don't get care commit suicides. You know, they become homeless and so forth. So, you know, untreated mental illness is a huge cost to the state.
Senator Sater.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How do you feel about some sort of managed care program for the mentally disabled versus just a fee-for-service? I mean, it could be a hybrid. I'm not talking about maybe a company that comes in and does it, but do you feel as though this population would benefit from more oversight?
Well, I think that's a good question. I think normally, you know, I would say managed care has not been good for people with severe and persistent mental illness. But what I have seen over the last few years is our community mental health centers really stepping up and coordinating care more.
Yeah. So particularly, we could call it coordinated care instead of managed care.
Right.
That sounds
right.
Better.
Right. So what I'm saying is I think that the community mental health centers are effectively providing some type of managed care already.
Right. We're just not calling it that, are we?
Right. Right.
So you do see a benefit in patient well-being and responses due to a little bit more oversight like that.
Yes, and I think, you know, speaking to one of the psychologists' comments earlier about we need more access to behavioral health care, therapy, and mm-hmm. so forth, mm-hmm. I think that is exactly right. I understand that Medicaid does pay for some therapy, but, you know, not all therapy. And you know, therefore, people go without the therapy
and I think that was a good point that was brought up because, you know, we want good health care outcomes. And when we have good health care outcomes, especially in mental health, it does save the taxpayers money.
I mean, absolutely. And I think one thing that the legislature could do to provide more leadership in that area is really provide incentives for our community mental health centers who are really good at implementing some of these recovery-oriented services, mm-hmm. you know, and
I think there was some apprehension, I think, when we started going toward these community mental health centers a number of years ago. But I think they've proven to be very valuable services.
I would agree.
And case management along with it, of course.
I would definitely agree.
Thank you.